We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Greetings and salutations, Ivy Nation Sports Talk up and rolling. On a Wednesday, he's Vince D'Addario. I'm Sean Steyer. So hope you're having a good one. Today, Vince and I congregated along with Brian and a few others this morning over at the Irish Athletic Center. So we got to watch a little bit of practice this morning, and I got to talk to some players and some of the coaches after the practice as well. I've saved up some of that for tomorrow. I think I've got some things that'll be of interest on tomorrow's show as we go in depth with some of those post-practice comments and stuff like that. Salty's nice. Favorite, the great one, was one of them. So,
well, yeah. he deserves all of his flowers at the moment. We'll see if it translates to next season, but
he does.
So far, so good, man. He is looking good in a lot of ways.
He is. He's looking very good. Ryan Roberts, hello to you as well, sir. Glad to have you here as always. Let's just get started because got a lot of questions start up in the queue tonight.
Okay.
Speaking of Salty and the great one, let's just lead it off with that. Salty says the great one continues to set the pace at wide receiver, number one in rep order, and is showing increased long speed. What's been his greatest improvement? Detail at length.
Wow. That is that's a very specific question. I would say for me, his greatest improvement has just been just doing it. You know what I mean? he doesn't look lost. He looks like a veteran. He looks like somebody who belongs at the front of the line. You know what I mean? And he was always a good route runner. He was always good, you know, at doing all of the things you need to do as a wide receiver. And then he got hurt. And so everything kind of took a step back. And so I think he's back to his, you know, he's obviously not fighting a hamstring right now. And I just think he plays with a confidence level that he hasn't had in a little bit, you know, in a while, since midseason of last year. And so he's playing that way. That's the biggest thing I can see because he's always been good. I mean, we knew that he was arguably their best receiver there for a while. And then he got injured and he was kind of a shell of himself. And so I just think it's a confidence level thing.
Yeah, I think all those things, and you look at the fact this is his second spring now, and he was an early enrollee last year. And there were moments where he shined last spring, but I think he has been, I think he's been a standout in terms of the receivers this spring. And like nailing down, you know, one biggest improvement, I think, is tough. And you kind of went through all those different things, and it's kind of an accumulative, an accumulative effect, because went through a freshman season. He did get injured, and that obviously came up today, but he definitely looks healthy now. And when you look at like the physique that Jaden Greathouse has now in his sophomore spring season, as opposed to his freshman, he looks different there. And like, he was asked today about speed and quickness, if he feels faster and quicker. And he's like, well, I feel like I was always fast and quick. And it's like, but yeah, but do you feel faster and quicker now? Because he sure looks like it. And especially when you compare him to most of the rest of that bunch out there. Again, I just think he really stands out. And that's the thing. He is standing out so far. And it's all added up. And I think, you know, again, just being a sophomore, second go round. And it feels like, just listening to some of his comments today, and again, we'll let you hear some of them tomorrow, but it feels like this switch at position coach has played a part of that as well, just in terms of confidence, cohesiveness for not just him, but for the entire group as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. That was it's a completely different group from coach down. I mean, that's an obvious statement since it's different people. But just the way they go about their business, just the way that they operate, it's a completely different looking group. And it's also a group they're going to count on in a very different way, I think, moving forward. And that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch as well, with Mike Denbrock calling the shots.
Matt is questioning my Kansas Jayhawks t-shirt attire. I don't know if you knew this, Matt, but I am a Kansas alum. So there are a few Jayhawk t-shirts in my closet, in my drawer. So they come out from time to time.
Yeah. Yep. This is true. I have nothing from the school that I ended up getting my degree from.
Not Where did you end up getting your degree article. From?
IU.
Was it now?
IUSB.
Okay.
My diploma's hanging on the wall over there. It doesn't say anything about South Bend. There's nothing South Bend written on it. It says Indiana University right at the top. So
it's all that matters. It's all that matters.
But I will not own any IU stuff ever.
Right.
So.
Now, kind of on the same, you know, same but different topic, we were talking about Jaden Greathouse. Tyler wants to know the difference between Mike Brown's coaching and Stuckey's coaching from last year.
Oh, I would say from a drill perspective, you know, the drills that they do are actually applicable towards what they are going to do on the field. You know, it's always good when you can see an application from drill to field, and for the players as well, that they can actually draw from the drills for what they're going to do on the football field. I see that a lot more. I see a lot more individualized coaching as well, which is very good. And just the way that he coaches, I like better, you know, so that would be the noticeable differences, I would say.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard to really tell just because of, it's been so cold. Every time we've been over there, they've been inside the Irish Athletic Center. And for the most part, that means that, you know, we stand or sit up on the balcony. So we're kind of away from them. When they go outside, and we typically, the receivers are in a place where we can literally stand about 10 yards from them, you know, so we can see and hear a lot of the coaching points and stuff like that going on. So really, aside from what Vince just said, those are really the only visible things. You know, how that translates to the field, that'll be the next step. And maybe we get to start to see some of that in the blue gold game. But we haven't actually, you know, again, because we're just at a time where we haven't been sort of got to be up close to that position group. You know, it's like the receivers and the running backs are on the far side of the field, you know, the multiple fields when they're outside. And we just haven't got to be close enough to kind of, you know, peek in and sort of hear right. some of the things that are going on over there, you know, beyond just those little visual kind of things. It's like, well, and you know, to an extent, drills are drills, but I will say the receivers, just what we've seen so far, do seem to be a little bit more, you know, kind of honed in looking, I think, than what we saw last year.
Agreed. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How good do you think Taj Baker can be, floor and ceiling?
Well, it kind of remains to be seen, to be honest with you. I think he can be just fine at right tackle for Notre Dame. I think he can be a part of a very good offensive line. That would be his ceiling. His floor would be he's going to get beat out. Like that, he's been around forever, it feels like, and now he's getting his opportunity. And so I feel like right now there is not a ton of depth at tackle for Notre Dame. And so he's got every opportunity, every chance to be the right starting right tackle.
Yeah.
And this is still Notre Dame, right? He's still a good tackle. You know, like the floor is you're a starting tackle at Notre Dame. Like that's a pretty good floor, right? His ceiling isn't like Joe Alt. You know what I mean? But he can be a very serviceable right tackle at Notre Dame that you don't have to overly worry about. How about that?
Yeah, and I think we're going to get we're not going to get the answer to this question in the spring. We're going to get closer to the answer of this question maybe early in fall camp, because I'm curious to see, mm-hmm. can Emil Wagner eat a few more milkshakes and pizzas and French fries and maybe a few pork tenderloins this summer and come in tipping the scales at around 300 pounds and be able to be, you know, a much more physical kind of guy and pose a true challenge to Tosh Baker for that spot. Because just like last year, the guys coming out of the spring, as we found out quickly, almost as soon as fall camp, not as soon as fall camp started, but what, a week or two into fall camp, everything changed pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be where we find the true answer, is what Emil Wagner is able to do this summer in terms of bulking up, because I think he's got the skill and he's obviously got agility and he's getting stronger and stuff like that, but he needs to be able to pack on those pounds to be a true college tackle. And I think that he can truly challenge for that spot if he's able to add some of that girth that he needs to add.
For sure. Yeah, no, 100%. And I like Emil Wagner a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. He just needs to figure out how to get bigger and stay bigger, you know, and that's going to be, it's going to be tough for him, which, I mean, at least it's been up to this point, right? And so unless he truly challenges Tosh Baker, Tosh Baker is going to be your starting right tackle. Now, this offensive line as a unit can be really good. And Tosh Baker could be a part of that. Like, you know, that, you know, that's his ceiling to me, being one of the five of a really solid offensive line.
Concur. Joe Allen wants to know if Notre Dame will get their offensive points average up to 42.5 points, over under 42.5 this year.
So Notre Dame just set the record for the highest scoring offense in their history. And now we want more. That's what I'm seeing. I'm going to take the under because they did just set the record and nobody was impressed with their offense last year.
That's true.
Which is crazy. But it would be, look, is it possible? Sure. You just want Notre Dame's offense to show up in the big games. Like, that's all I want. I don't care what the end game is. I really don't. I mean, they absolutely blew
because look
out
what
teams
happened
last year.
Last year. Yeah, I mean, they blew out a bunch of teams that they should have blown out. And, I mean, that's why it's a scoring average, but the numbers were lower against the better teams on the schedule.
Right. I mean, and
all that matters is you've got an offense that can compete against a ranked team, a legit ranked team.
Sure. They had the games that they lost, right? Was it three total? And one close win. The rest were blowouts. I mean, that's a pretty good offensive showing. And I will just say I will take the under this time around. Notre Dame's had easy schedules in the past, too, and they set the record last year. So
yeah.
I'm just not looking for them to set the record 2 years in a row. Maybe they do, but we'll see.
New offensive coordinator, who led the nation in scoring last season. I think they'll average right around 40 points. I'll take slightly under, but I'll also take 40 points a game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's the goal. 40 is the goal, I would say. 42.5 is a big number.
Yeah. What changes, if any, have you seen in practice now that Mike Mickens is coaching the entire secondary and Marty Biagi is assisting? Any improvements?
We haven't seen enough practice to really be able to go very deep into that, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Today, when I'm watching the defense, the safeties were working with Al Golden specifically on that recognition drill. It was the safeties and the linebackers were working together, and they were doing formation recognition and some motion recognition and stuff like that. So they were working as a group while Mike Mickens was working with the corners, doing some zone turns and some different things of that nature and some one-on-one type situations with just defensive guys. Or just cornerbacks. So I believe Marty Biagi was over there, and obviously Max Bola was over there, but Al Golden was running that whole thing. Like nobody else was really allowed to say much. And so it wouldn't have mattered who the safeties coach was during that drill. You know what I mean? And Mike Mickens was working with the corners at that time.
Well, and that's
seen enough.
There are no visible changes because just like last year, you still have two guys for the two position groups. It's not like Mike Mickens is running around out there, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to, you know, talk details with both the cornerbacks and the safeties. Last year, you had Chris O'Leary with the safeties. Now you've got Marty Biagi back there.
Yeah,
and
right.
You've still got Mike Mickens focusing on the corners. I think the biggest difference is the stuff that we can't see. And Mickens talked a little bit about this after practice today. And again, we'll have some of this on tomorrow's show. But it's more for him about now they can all be in the same meeting room and they can talk about concepts as a whole. So that's nothing, you know, but good for them. And, but they can also still break up into groups if they need to, because
you've
got a full-time guy who's the coach. And I know that this keeps coming up, and Brian, you know, it was on the boards, the Champions Lounge today. Like, people keep wanting this GA for some reason to coach with the safeties. You know, like, Marty Biagi has actual Division One experience coaching the secondary. Why do you want a graduate assistant with little to no experience back
Seriously.
There with those guys?
Makes no sense.
The guy's a good coach, you know?
Right, exactly.
I don't get it.
100%.
By the way, you're starring, right?
I can be.
Okay, yeah, you start, because I started off starring.
No, it's all good. I got you. I've been reading along, so I can go back.
I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page, because I've been kind of sitting here on the back end of the comments.
I got you.
A little
got
bit.
You.
All right. Good deal. Andre wants to know how the freshman receivers are looking. What do you think about Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert so far?
Micah Gilbert is an unexpected surprise in a good way. I mean, that he looks like a third-year college guy. He does not look like he should be, you know, getting his tux ready for prom. You know what I mean? Like, he looks physically like he belongs. He runs his routes like he belongs. That he looks like he's ready to contribute. Now, he doesn't need to contribute. That's the glory of all of this, is he doesn't need to contribute, but he could. You know what I mean? And so he's in the mix. And then you've got Cam Williams, and Cam has the raw tools. You know what I mean? And we saw some of that today with some of these long balls and things like that. But, you know, he's still kind of fighting the routes a little bit, and he's a little bit more raw. And so it's going to take a little bit more time, but I think he's already looking more comfortable than he did when we saw him on day one of the spring. And so he's going to be great, but they don't need their freshmen to be great this season.
That's right. It was a lot different last year, where they really had to kind of try to accelerate things and everything else because of what they had with the roster. And I just got done writing some stuff up, you know, based on talking to Mike Brown and after practice today. It's interesting. They're going to have 11 scholarship wide receivers by the time fall camp rolls around, because you're going to obviously add Logan Saldata this summer, and Bo Collins, who is here but still finishing his coursework with Clemson, can't practice with the team yet. And Mike Brown made that abundantly clear when he was asked a few questions about Bo Collins, you know, at the end of the thing. It's like, yeah, I can't watch him do anything, basically. I know he's around, but I can't do anything.
I've heard he's here, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because he's still technically a recruit. Like, you know, you have to.
Right.
There's rules, man. There's rules.
Right. So I agree with what you said. But at the same, you know, there's a reason they brought in guys like Bo Collins and Chris Mitchell. They brought in veteran guys with speed, specific kind of guys, veterans with speed, experience. You can throw, obviously, Harrison in that mix as well, but they're not going to have to lean on these freshmen nearly as much. And the guy that we led this thing off talking about, Jaden Greathouse, has looked as good as anybody out there. And again, a year two guy who has a chance to really emerge this year as a full-fledged, you know, leader of that pack, I think.
Right.
So they're looking good, but you don't need to rush them at this point. And that's nothing but good news.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, like they said, that's the luxury, right? You can use Micah Gilbert as a pleasant surprise and work him around and do all of those different things. And you can kind of wait for Cam to kind of catch up a little bit, and you don't have to force feed, which is, it's a great place to be. It's a great position to be in.
Yes. Interesting question from Mark. Do you want to address this now, Vince? Do you want to save it for rapid fire when we talk a little bit? We were going to talk about Riley Leonard in rapid fire. What do you think?
I can address the concern about the injury-prone label part.
So Mark is asking, did Riley Leonard come back? Riley Leonard was at practice today wearing an ankle brace on that right ankle, big kind of blocky-looking ankle brace. But he was out there throwing the football. Mark wants to know if we think he did it partly due to concern over the label of being injury prone. What do you think about that?
I don't think that had squat to do with it. These guys don't necessarily care, and the strength coach and the trainers and the coaches don't care what the media is saying, and they don't care what the, you know, all the chirping is. That just doesn't land, you know what I mean? And so yeah. I don't think that had anything to do with it whatsoever. As far as other quarterbacks getting an opportunity, he's not worried about getting passed up either. So neither one of those things.
Yeah, I missed that last part.
Neither one of those things had anything to do with him coming back. And we'll address him coming back and what that looked like and all of that during rapid fire. But those two reasons, Mark, I don't think had anything to do with him getting back on the field whatsoever. I would agree with that. He's not worried about it getting passed up. I promise you that. That's for sure.
Concur. Sean wants to know, do you think Junior Tuialamaka is a bust on the defensive line?
I don't like the word bust. I think he has been underwhelming this spring thus far. Now, again, we haven't
seen a ton. And that's disappointing because this is a step-up opportunity for him.
Absolutely, 100%. 100% because the Viper position is open.
It's open for business.
Yeah, for sure. So it has been disappointing, but I'm not ready to label him a bust yet. I mean, that... You got to go a couple years of being nothing for that to be the case.
No, exactly. I mean, how many spring stars have we seen who didn't amount to anything? And then just guys who kind of muddled their way sometimes through the spring who ended up having pretty good to great careers. You would like to see more from a guy who is getting more opportunities because of where the depth chart is right now. But I think bust is a little bit too soon on that because he's still relatively new to the position still as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Completely agree with that too.
Jaden Greathouse was the number one punt returner and performed with excellence. Okay, Salty. There we go. Do you think Notre Dame's number one receiver should also be the number one punt returner as he was in high school?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if he's the best one, he gives you the best opportunity. Yeah, you give him a shot at it. If you have a guy who is right on the verge of it all depends on where you have them ranked as punt returners, right? If one guy is slightly ahead of another guy, but that guy is getting a ton of wide receiver reps, the other guy isn't, then I'm putting the guy who isn't back at punt return, right? Because he's going to be more fresh at the end of a game. And so that's the guy I would want in there. So it all just depends on how everything shakes out. Now, if Greathouse is head and shoulders above everybody else from a punt return standpoint, then you put him back there. I don't know that that's going to be the case at the end of the day. I think they've got a lot of really good options back there to return kicks. And even though Jaden Greathouse is looking really good at it at the moment, I think his ceiling is much higher as a wide receiver than it is as a punt returner.
I would agree with that. But if you change the name in this question to Rocket Ismail, you wouldn't be asking the question.
Well, right? I love Jaden Greathouse, but
he's not Rocket. He's not. But what I'm saying is right. It doesn't matter. If the guy is a guy you think can be a game changer,
right.
Put him back there.
And that's
regardless
the
of where
part.
He is yeah. on the depth chart
yes.
of any other position. Now, obviously, if you get into the middle of the season and maybe he's a little bit banged up and whatnot, and you want to keep him out there on, you know, just playing wide receiver and you put somebody else back there. And then maybe like in the fourth quarter, you know, if it's like a, you know, like you're down by a touchdown or something like that, you know, maybe you slip him back there after you've had somebody else return the last five or six punts. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's the number one wide receiver, the number eight wide receiver, you know, whoever. If he's the best guy for the job, and he could be a game-changing type guy, you put him back there. So I'm not concerned about it at all.
Right. Yep.
It's a legit question, though.
It's a great question.
They like the question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
So Josh wants to know, so who's the starter at field receiver?
So I don't know that it's going to be a static, you're starting here kind of a situation at wide receiver, if that makes sense, Sean. I think they're going to move guys around. I think Denbrock wants to move guys around. Mm-hmm.
And Greathouse has been moving around. Even though he's mostly in the slot, he's right. Moving around still too.
Yep. I mean, here's your room, right? You've got Deon Colsey, who I think has looked great this spring thus far. Mm-hmm. Okay. And obviously this is going to be a big opportunity for him this coming season, right? This is kind of a make or break season for Deon Colsey. So Colsey's looked good. Jaden Harrison has looked good at the slot, right? Faison, we know what he brings to the table. I thought Chris Mitchell has looked good so far. K.K. Smith has looked good. You know, Micah Gilbert as a freshman has looked good. Greathouse has looked good. So, you know, you've got all kinds of options. And then Jaden Thomas, he was a little banged up today. Hopefully he can be healthy for an entire season. So there are plenty of people that you can move around. You can put Greathouse out there. You can put Chris Mitchell out there. You could put Bo Collins out there. I mean, you could do a lot of different things, move a lot of guys around if you find a matchup that you like. And then make it work that way. I don't know that it's going to be quite so static as people want to make it. You know what I mean? From like, you're an X, you're a Z, you're a Y. Whatever.
I mean, I think probably the most static thing is probably Faison. Like he's just where
he's a slot. And Jaden Harrison is a slot. I mean,
well, see, and that's Smith. The thing. It's like, fortunately you do have more guys who can play outside than what you had last year. And that was another thing that really bound up last year's receiver core, but the fact that you do have more flexibility, there's only so many guys who can play the slot unless you're going to play four wides, you know,
exactly, like, exactly,
two on each side.
Yep.
You know, so you've got to be able to, you want to have your most talented guys on the field. So the way to do that is you've got to be moving them around, and the spring is the time to do that.
I think
that, like, really all these jobs are up for grabs. I think it's a lot more just experimental right now with a lot of things and what they're doing.
And like I said, it's going to be very matchup driven. I mean, Mike Denbrock is clearly a matchup guy. And so if he sees a matchup that he likes and he thinks he can burn somebody with speed on the outside, he's going to put Faison or somebody out there that is just going to blow right by a guy or, you know, whatever, Jaden Harrison or, you know, however he feels like he can attack that weakness in the defense, he's going to do it. And I don't think he's going to be married to, well, we can't put him out there. He's a slot receiver. Or I can't put Jaden Thomas, for example, in the slot, which he has played before because he's a big body. You know what I mean? You look for those matchups that you can win, and then you go do it. And as Joe Allen says, it sounds like a problem, a good problem. And you're absolutely right. I think they're going to be very deep. And they're going to have a lot of options at wide receiver. And then, of course, you've got like Jeremiah Love, who's been getting reps at slot as well. So,
and that's options. Like Jesse and I talked about that at the end of last week with that, when that whole Jeremiah Love thing came about sort of mid about this time last week, I guess. But you know, like the idea of putting like Jeremiah Love and Jordan Faison right next to each other. And then all of a sudden you put these, you know, you put the safeties in a bind, you put a linebacker in a bind, and everyone's trying to figure out, you know, who's going with who, you know, what it, you make them make decisions at the line of scrimmage. I think that is a very, very enticing sort of idea to be able to, the things that you can do with a guy with the skill set and the speed that Jeremiah Love has when you throw him.
Oh my gosh. It's endless, right? I mean, you know, just motioning or whatever you want to do with him and make him end up in the slot and, you know, him against a linebacker or a safety. Yes, please. You know, come on.
Yep. On that subject, Jadarian Price has been taking reps during some wide receiver drills and performing well. From what you've seen, how much time will he see at wide receiver during games?
I think it's zero. He's not going to see time at wide receiver. He's going to see time at running back that motions to wide receiver or something along those lines. Like I don't see him just, you know, breaking the huddle or whatever and coming out and playing wide receiver. Like they're rotating those guys in with the wide receivers to get time catching the football and learning how to catch the football, how to run some routes, you know, those kinds of things with somebody that is focused on watching those things.
And so that they're actually learning the route tree and they're actually, you know, learning the offense as a wide receiver so that they can put them out there in certain situations. So it's not just like, okay, Jadarian, now you're going to, you know, line up in the slide or you're going to line up outside, you know, you're going to run a skinny post or, you know, this is what you're going to do 90% of the time when you line up out there. He's actually a viable option to go out there and do something. And just like with Jeremiah Love, I think, let's say Price is on the field already. Like he just ran the ball on, you know, first and 10. Okay.
Right.
So now he's already on the field and here comes Jeremiah Love on the field. So now you're the opposing defensive coordinator up in the press box and you got 12 and 24 on the field together. If you know that either one of them, you know, can go line up as a wide receiver, either one of them can stay in the backfield. Again,
exactly.
You're putting the defense in a bind, not knowing exactly where they're going to go, what they're going to do, and the fact that they can actually go out there and be viable receiver options. And they've all got the hands for it. So
right.
Why not take advantage of that skill set? And again, spring is the time to really start to drill down on some of that stuff. When you're not preparing for games, you're just preparing to get these guys ready and give them the base of knowledge so that they can slip into that if you want them to.
Right. At 100%. And so the more tools you can put in their toolbox, basically the better off they're going to be. And so that's what you're doing in the spring is you're equipping them with all these different tools and all these different ways to be effective. And so the possibilities are endless is what they are. I see Mike Denbrock sitting in his office, you know, and you see like the bubble above his head. And it's like a beautiful mind of like different things that he can do. And look, he's not like a Steve Sarkisian, like offensive guru. Like that's not who Mike Denbrock is. He'll just do simple stuff to mess with you. Like that's just what he's going to do. It's not going to be exotic and crazy and all this other stuff. It's going to be super simple, you know, but he's going to find those matchups and he's going to exploit them and he doesn't care how he does it. And so that's why these running backs are getting time at wide receiver in practice in the spring. Just gives you more opportunities for matchups that you can win.
Mm-hmm. DJ wants to know, scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are we about the pass rush from the Viper and Big End?
6, I guess. Until I see something, and that's the problem. We haven't seen any line play this spring.
Right. Like today, they actually had pads on, but
they went outside.
Of course, the lines went outside on different ends of the field, and then of course, when period 5, the last period that we got to see was over, they came on and it looked like they were getting ready to do some scrimmaging. You know,
right?
So
they did. We saw one play kind of out of the corner of my eye as we were like walking out.
Cheater!
I know. I could tell. I was getting like the look from the back of my head, but. It got blown up anyway, so it didn't matter. But I haven't seen enough to be worried or not worried, if I'm being honest. I haven't seen RJ Oben, you know, get after the quarterback. I haven't seen any of these things to be overly worried or overly not worried. You know what I mean? And so I feel very confident about the interior getting after the quarterback, but they're going to need pressure from the outside. And as Sean alluded to earlier, the Viper position is wide open, man. Like there's like a blinking neon sign that says vacancy over that spot. You know what I mean? And who's going to take it? Who's going to get after it? I don't know.
I'm less worried about RJ Oben's side than I am with that Viper side. I would say
me
that.
Too. Yeah, for sure.
It's really the Viper side is not that much different than last year. But all that said, because you do have Howard Cross and Riley Mills in the middle, like you've got an NFL body and could have been an NFL ready 3 technique defensive tackle with Mills this year, but he's back, which is great news for it. But the fact that you've got those two guys on the inside, there's also there's disruption there. And it also like you can't double the outside all the time when you've got those two guys in the middle. So that is going to give those guys some one-on-one type opportunities, and it's just going to be up for them to win. And I think that RJ Oben is going to win more than he loses. I think Jordan Botello, obviously, we all know that he's got the athletic ability to win more than he loses, but we do need to see it. So what's my concern level? I'd put it a little bit lower than yours. I'd put it at a 4 because I really don't think it's that much different than what it was last year, and everything worked out okay last year.
Yeah. So that's fair.
Yeah. Because you're basically you're basically replacing Javonte Jean-Baptiste with RJ Oben. You know, and so I'm pretty confident that Oben can at least perform at that level. And then really right. It's just up to the other side to see what they can get out of that, you know. But there Absolutely. Are other ways, as we saw, to get pressure on the quarterback that's not exclusive to the Viper defensive end and stuff like that.
Right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Salty. I don't know if he's just trying to stir things up here or what, but he says there's some buzz around Andrick Estime being drafted by the Chiefs. Which team do you think would be the best fit, and which team do you like him to join?
Look, everybody who has an NFL team that they follow would love for Andrick Estime to join that's their right. team. Okay, so that's the answer to the last part. Sean says Dallas. Vince says the Bears.
That's right.
That's the answer to the last part.
Look, we talked about this at the end of yesterday's show.
Okay.
Like my Dallas cow, because I was wearing, for the first time since the January debacle in the playoffs, I wore, not just on this show, but for the first time since then,
yeah,
I wore anything with Cowboys on it. That's how ticked off
I get it.
I had been. And, you know, I was looking for a long sleeve shirt because it was a little cool yesterday. And like, I'm like, well, I can only wear the Unsalted shirt so many times because I keep wearing the Unsalted, and Salty takes it as an insult every time I do. So it's like, I'll just go with the Cowboys veterans look thing. But as Jesse told everybody yesterday, the only thing that's going to make me happy about this offseason is if Andrick Estime gets drafted by Dallas. So,
I mean,
I'm just setting myself up for many more months of not being happy with anything they do. But that is literally the only thing that can turn my off season on those pathetic guys down there in Dallas. So
I get it. And
but I mean, best fit, anyone.
Anyone that wants to run the football. Yeah. Anybody that has, you know, any kind of inclination to run the football, that's where he would be the best fit. And I would think that any NFL team could make Andrick Estime work in their offense.
Sloppy Joe, sleepers on defense.
My number one sleeper on defense right now is Adon Shuler. That he has been chiseled out of a mountaintop, man. Like, he fits the mold physically. I like what he's starting to do athletically as well. I mean, he's not hesitating. He's taking advantage of the fact that Rod Heard is not in a Notre Dame uniform right now. And he's getting all the number one reps next to an All-American in Xavier Watts. And so I think that he's taking full advantage. I think it's only going to pay off in a positive way for Notre Dame. And so Adon Shuler is my answer to that question.
Yes. Everyone's got their answer. Basically, if you're a fan of whatever team, you want Audric Estes.
Yeah,
I look at all the replies on this. Yes.
Yes, 100%.
I will go a little bit different route. A guy who kind of stood out for me today. KVA.
Okay.
Linebacker. Like what we saw from him. And I don't know, like the question that Salty asks was, you know, he said during the motion period, Drake Bowen was at Mike Kingston was next, and he knocked some people back in one-on-ones. That's what caught my eye was the physicality, especially as a true freshman, early enrollee he was playing with. But he asked, can he start at Mike linebacker? It might be a little bit early on that. The signs of physicality are obviously what you want to see from any middle linebacker. But, you know, like I would think that the next option right now is probably, you know, like if it's not Drake Bowen, you just slide Kaiser over there and you've got other options at Will and at Rover and that kind of thing. But I like what we're starting to see, just some of the inklings from Kingston.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, he's a great linebacker. They're going to try to find a way to get him reps. There's no doubt about
it. He'll be out there on the field just like Bowen was last year, playing a lot of special teams and get him out there some 100%. Snaps when the opportunities present themselves.
If you're putting KVA at Mike, that means you're benching Bowen, which I don't think any of us want to do either. You know what I mean? And so you got to remember there it's not like you're adding a 12th player to the defense. And so, you know, I'm not quite ready to bench Drake Bowen yet. That's what I'll say.
Yes. Thank you for the super chat, Alan Watson. That just came in. He says, how does this ACC upheaval affect Notre Dame in the upcoming years?
Is there something new that has come out that I'm unaware of, Mr. Stiers?
Nothing has upheaved yet. You've got a couple of schools suing the ACC, but they're suing the ACC because they can't find a way out. I'm assuming that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
It's just the fact that Clemson and Florida State are ticked off. And it's like,
okay,
you can go to your room screaming and crying because you're not getting any dessert, and you can be ticked off all you want. Still doesn't mean you're getting dessert. And I don't think, you know, Clemson and ACC can kick and scream and go to court all they want. But as I've said it before, if they had a true way out of the ACC, they would already be out of the ACC. And I don't think ESPN wants to see the ACC break up, because remember, they've got a TV contract. That's TV inventory for them. Like, they want to see it keep, you know, stay together. I think the kingpin, Greg Sankey, wants to see it stay together, for that matter.
I completely agree with you on that one. Let's pretend that the ACC just implodes on itself and there is no more ACC. How does that affect Notre Dame? That means they got to find a new home for their Olympic sports.
Right.
And I can tell you right now, the Big East would be sitting there with open arms, ready to take Notre Dame back with no problem whatsoever. And Notre Dame would be just fine. They could stay independent as a football team. They have a home for all of their Olympic sports, and you just keep on moving on. I think you could say the same thing about the American Conference. They'd take Notre Dame in a heartbeat, too, with all their Olympic sports. You know what I mean? Like, would that be a step down for some of the sports? Sure, it would be. But they would still have a home, and they would still have schedules. And that's what matters at the end of the day. And so I don't know that it's not going to push Notre Dame into a conference like people think it's going to. I really don't think that. And I also don't think that the ACC is going to implode in the next year or two either. So I think this is all just everybody's worried about something happening when I don't think that it's going to happen.
There's still 12 more years on that contract.
Right.
I think that you have to get probably at least past another 6 years because the reason the buyout is so big is because it's like you would owe what you are due for every year that's remaining on the contract plus some other money. So I think maybe as that shrinks and it potentially becomes a little bit more viable, but they still have to find homes as well. I think everyone, you know, just assumes, and I realize why you would assume it, that the Big Ten or the SEC are so greedy that they would just, you know, want Florida State and Clemson. But again, I don't think that those are nearly those. They're not as valuable, those schools and those brands, as they think they are.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like, and especially with, you know, Clemson's at a point with its football program where is it going to stay an elite program? It's come back to the pack, obviously, in the last couple of years. Is it going to stay with the pack, or are they going to stay with the elite? I mean, that's really the only thing that gives Clemson any value, because as a TV property, there's just not that much demand for Clemson because they're from a really small market in the middle of South Carolina.
Well, and here's the thing. Florida State is not a huge draw from a TV market standpoint either.
Right.
So there's no guarantee that, like, maybe the Big 12 would take them in, or I don't know that it's a guarantee.
From the SEC standpoint, they've already got Florida. So they're
Florida is
in all the markets they would want. You know, Florida State just doesn't give them that much more value than what they're already getting with Florida.
Brian made a good point yesterday when we kind of brought this up on the show that we did in the afternoon. And he said that there's a clause or something along the lines of that in the ESPN contract, that if they need to stay at 14 teams, and if it dips below that, then ESPN can pull out of the contract. Well, they just went and got three more teams,
right?
You know, as a cushion, essentially.
True.
So they're actually being fairly smart about this whole thing. And let's say those two teams get out. Well, they just brought in three. And so now they've got a cushion. They're at 17 now instead of 14. And so I would say the ACC is actually being proactive.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. They were what the Pac-12 and some of these, you know, the Big 12, it took the Big 12 a while to be proactive, but they were definitely more proactive than the Pac-12.
Oh, was. Pac-12 just, as Brian said yesterday, I don't want to steal his thunder, but they just had their fingers in their ears and were just like, you know, as everything was collapsing around them and just hoping for the best. You know what I mean?
Apparently, Klefkov was taking the input of, you know, like a couple of university presidents or something like that, who are connected to professors who are telling them, you know, this is what you need from the deal up here. You know, like the money, the monetary thing. Like, this is what you need up here, when the reality was much, you know, much more down here. And they could have kind of taken it in the middle, but they turned that down because they kept thinking they were going to get this pie in the sky deal. He was listening to the wrong people.
Yeah, clearly. All along. Yeah. You
know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But I mean, it's always a relevant question because it's always circulating.
Sure.
It seems like.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Guns wants to know, Vince, aside from blessing Brian with your presence at away games for Notre Dame, have you ever left? Is he like left South Bend? Is that?
Yeah, I think that's what he's trying to say. Yeah. Have I ever left South Bend? I am not a very widely traveled person. I will definitely say that. Taking a few trips here and there, but I've probably been west of the Mississippi like three times in my 43 years on this earth. I went to Vegas when I was 21 with my dad. I went to the Fiesta Bowl, and I went to a wedding in where was that? In New Mexico.
Okay.
I think that's it. I think that's the only time I've ever really been west. You know what I mean? Like, I had a layover in Dallas in January, but I wouldn't exactly call that like a visit. You know what I mean? We were in the airport, you know, but I'm not a very well-traveled, like my parents, we didn't grow up super wealthy and like we didn't travel, and I'm a teacher with five kids. Like, we don't travel that often. You know what I mean?
You know, being from Kansas, we took vacations in Colorado and Missouri, like when they really stepped out, and that wasn't even that much.
Correct. We took a couple of like road trips to the East Coast when I was a kid, you know, and we would do like the multi-city thing like for a week and then drive home, you know.
I will actually now I there was one summer where this was like early 70s. I was still pretty young, but you know, my dad was just a few years out of the Marines. And so we took this like summer road trip to go see his Marine buddies, you know? And so like we went to Wisconsin, you know, we went through Chicago. We actually saw the aquarium and, you know, like outside of Soldier Field and all that kind of stuff. I remember doing that. And then we went to Detroit, you know, so it was, you know, it was a real whiz bang summer in the car.
Yeah. Seeing, right.
Seeing Wisconsin and, you know, again, it's like young. So the coolest stuff was Chicago, just because I do, you know, vividly remember being, you know, like outside Soldier Field and stuff like that. And then we actually, I think, swung back through Kokomo on the way home because my mom's sister and her husband used to live in Kokomo. So,
okay. Yeah. There you go.
So that was like the big adventure summer. Yeah. Other than that, we didn't venture too far out.
Just not a very well-traveled human. You've traveled, obviously, with Notre Dame basketball. You've gotten a chance to
and
travel
baseball
around a little bit. And
but
baseball,
I mean, got to go to Paris, you know, not to brag. But
I mean, that's a humble brag, buddy.
Put that at the top of the list.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I mean, no, but I mean, that has been pretty cool. Like when you sit back and like you get to like all the different places.
Yeah.
That, you know, especially from a sports standpoint, it's like you see them on TV, but it's another thing to be there and kind of get to see some
absolutely
of these places.
Oh, you one know of my favorite trips was going to the Fiesta Bowl a couple of years ago, you know, with the football team. That was awesome. That was awesome. You know, and so I do get that kind of an opportunity, but it's also at the expense of my wife and kids. They're always like, come on, man. You know, so there is that part of it as well.
Yeah, they're old enough to shame you now.
Oh, 100%.
Like when I was making most of those trips, my kids were still young, so they didn't have, you know, much room.
To shame you.
But we actually, like, that was back in the days when the teams still traveled commercial. So I would get to take advantage, like I would get the air point, you know, like the mileage and stuff like that. And there was actually one time we were on a baseball trip and we were coming back through Pittsburgh, and it was one of those overbooked, you know, flights from Pittsburgh to South Bend, and they were looking for people, you know, to get off, you know, like to stay off the flight.
Yeah.
And they were offering some vouchers and stuff like that. And the SID and I, we were sitting over there, we're kind of huddled up and they're talking. They made the announcement a few times. And I was like, look, let's hold out and see if they offer like more than what they're offering right now.
Yeah, right.
And sure enough, we held out for like 15 more minutes and they doubled it. So they put us up in a hotel, you know, flew us home the next morning. But I think we each got like $1,000, $1,500, you know, bucks worth of, you know, mileage, and took the family to Disney that summer using the free miles.
See? So
that was nice.
Talk about.
Yeah.
Well done. Well played.